From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm carnivorous anchorman Bill Curtis. And here's your host at the Norse Theater in San Francisco, Peter Sagal.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Seriously, I thought you guys were mellow. What is this? This is our second week here in San Francisco, and I am pleased to announce that our show has been bought by Google. Now, don't worry, our show will be the same, but once the deal goes through, after every question, we have to pause 1 minute in silence to let you Google the answer.
And don't even think about Bing.
Today, though, you're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way. Give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Liz Cantor-Groskin from Tucson, Arizona.
Hey, Liz Cantor-Groskin, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. And you?
I'm fine. So, Liz Cantor-Groskin, one of those great, you know, old Mexican names, I guess,
yes,
from Tucson.
Yes, exactly. Native.
Native. Now, where are you from?
Detroit.
What brought you to Tucson?
Life change.
Life change is the kind that doesn't involve surgery, right? That's the
mild.
No. Okay, good.
No.
Life change is kind of the conversational yellow light, Peter.
Really?
Proceed with caution.
I understand. Liz, let me introduce you to our panel. First up, the host of the public radio variety show Live Wire, it's Mr. Luke Burbank.
Hey, Liz.
Next, the woman behind the syndicated advice column Ask Amy, it's Amy Dickinson.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Liz.
And lastly, host of The Morning Amp on Vocalo.org and a comedian hosting The Moth at Martyrs in Chicago on July 29th. It's Brian Babylon.
Hey, Liz, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Wow.
Now, Liz, welcome to the show. I probably don't need to tell anybody this, but this week has been full of pretty bad news. So we thought this week for a change, we'd start by digging up some good news deep beyond the headlines. So Bill Curtis is going to provide some dramatic interpretations of good news that you may not have heard this week. Your job, figure out what it is. You ready to play?
I am.
All right. Your first piece of good news comes from the automotive world. Bill?
If you don't pipe down back there, I'm going to pull over, kick you out, and leave you in the median to be raised by squirrels.
Bill was dramatizing a feature of the new Toyota Sienna minivan that'll help people everywhere more effectively do what?
Eject their kids from the car?
I hope Toyota is listening, because that is a great idea. You got the automated doors already. All you need is some springs, and you're done.
No, this is okay.
slightly less extreme. For you, the driver, it saves vocal strain.
No, a microphone?
Yes.
Intercom?
Yes.
Oh.
It is a new speaker system that helps you yell at your kids. You've got the system that Toyota calls Driver Easy Speak. They say the built-in microphone that's connected to the rear speakers in the van is there to help drivers more easily speak to passengers without turning around. But you know that 80% of the conversations will be, no, we are not there yet. And all they need is a mechanized arm so you can threaten to smack them, too, without taking your hands off the wheel.
What happened to the good old days when your dad would pull his own finger and lock the windows? That's how he would, you know, have you stop cutting up.
So here's the thing, though. We apparently have an obesity epidemic in this country.
Yes.
And yet turning around and yelling at their kids is how most dads get their only exercise during the week. So we're getting rid of that one
thing.
That's
why the right side of their neck is not so much more muscular than the left side. Honda, this is true, is a new built-in vacuum cleaner, so you can just, you know, suck up all those old Cheerios.
Can I say something about that?
You may.
I have married friends with kids, and their cars are so filthy. It's like half of M&Ms and like, you know, perforated edges of paper and like a sock. I ain't got time for that.
It's not the kids,
oh,
Brian.
Brian is like that. See, he's like that single guy you hate. You know, he comes, his clothes are all pressed.
No.
He got a good night's sleep.
No.
You know. We hate you.
That van, if you describe it, it has a built-in cleaning system.
Yeah.
It has a microphone. It has the DVD players. It's so much nicer than your house at some point, right?
Yeah.
You're never leaving the van. You are voluntarily becoming homeless at some point.
Okay, Liz, for your next bit of this week's good news, please listen to Bill. According to a new study, the people who talk that way with lots of, those people are actually what?
Lying.
No. They may well be, but that's not what the study says. What's that, Lassie? Do you know the answer?
That's a lifeline.
Trying to tell you.
Timmy's in the well.
The answer's down a well.
They have meaning. They help you gather your thoughts.
Exactly.
No.
That's exactly right. In fact, the people who say those things are smarter. That's the answer.
Whoa.
And you found the reason. The idea is, and this is according to a new study from the University of Texas, it's called, and this is true, Who Like Says You Know. And it suggests people who use those words are actually... It's not that they're too dumb to think of real world words to say. They're taking extra time to think about what they say. NPR has been editing its broadcast to make our talent sound smarter because that's what we thought we needed to do. We no longer have to, thanks to this study. So here, for the first time, is NPR unedited. Ladies and gentlemen, Robert Siegel.
And finally, the S&P, 500, closed on a record high. Reactions were, mixed or something. This is NP, R.
See? But once you put that, this is NPR at the end, it makes everything smarter. You can just do whatever you want to do. Hey.
Bam.
You want to come back to my house? No. This is NPR. Okay, I'll come back here. It works.
The problem is as a person who overuses, was like in the study?
Name of the study, yeah.
It's really hard to not, even right now, everything in me wants to use like. And I'm trying not to. Once you start thinking about it, it becomes impossible not to do it.
I know.
Hold on. Why wasn't this true when Valley Girls were doing that back in the mid-80s?
I know.
So,
that was real popular.
Moon Unit Zappa was really the Stephen Hawking of her time.
Exactly.
Yes, she was. Thank you. Thank you, Lou Burbank.
I believe Moon Unit now runs Hewlett Packard. So there you go. All right. It's time for your last bit of good news. Bill?
I want you to become well acquainted on first-name terms with my favorite and most cherished part of my body.
Bill was quoting from a very popular book that we now know is going to be made into a movie. And we saw the trailer this week. Everybody was so excited. What is it?
50 Shades of Grey.
50 Shades of Grey. The trailer for the bondage-themed movie was premiered to much fanfare. Where else but that cesspool of sin, the Today Show? For the occasion, they made it a big deal. They promoted it. Everybody got in on it. Al Roker.
Gross.
Al Roker did the weather.
Gross.
In a skin-tight leather suit and a ball gag.
What about Willard Scott?
Willard Scott was actually, he came on and he brought on some 100-year-old people and lightly whipped them. People were excited, whatever the quality of the book, this new kind of sexual expression has become mainstream. But then you think about it, and you realize, as good as that may be, it now means your grandma has a safe word.
I think this book has scandalized America because I think for a lot of people aren't doing that kind of stuff. And now, if you're a suburban house dad and you...
Suburban house dads do the most.
Your wife has a copy of this, you can't believe that that's a thing that could possibly happen in your life. You're sort of really excited and you feel a lot of pressure to build a dungeon.
I know a marriage.
Which is hard to do. Just first of all, the permitting on a dungeon is
terrible.
How did Liz do?
Liz is a winner, Peter. Liz, good for you.
Congratulations. Well done, Liz. Thank you so much. We want to remind everyone to join us most weeks back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, Illinois. For tickets and more information, go to WBEZ.org, or you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Amy, this week the EPA stirred up controversy when their official Twitter feed endorsed, or seemed to endorse, what?
Some sort of pollution.
No, I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Certainly, we understand how the EPA could get behind Kim and Khloe, but who knows about Kendall and Kylie?
So it endorsed the Kardashians?
Yes. This is what happened.
Because there's so much hot air involved that
No.
Creating this massive hole in the ozone.
So there's this new, very popular Kim Kardashian game app. Mm-hmm. In which the object of the game, it's, I'm told it's very fun. The object of the game is to keep Kim Kardashian married as long as possible. The current record, by the way, if you're playing the game, the record to beat is 4 minutes, 32 seconds. And it just so happens it's one of those annoying apps that takes over your Twitter account if you're not careful. So somebody, like an intern with access to the EPA Twitter feed, accidentally tweeted how much they love that game. When you think about it, isn't that surprising that the EPA is interested in the Kardashians? The entire family is a Superfund site.
You know what?
What?
You guys out there in public radio land are clapping and laughing, but based on what we've learned about human language, those are some of the smartest people we have.
Yeah. Totally.
So show them some like respect.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. The NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Brian Babylon, Amy Dickinson, and Luke Burbank. And here again is your host at the Norse Theater in San Francisco, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bill. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Peter, this is Mark Simpson. I'm calling from Rohnert Park, California.
Hey, Mark, how are you? Now, where is Rohnert Park?
Yeah, it doesn't ring a lot of bells, does
no,
it?
No, it doesn't.
About 60 miles north of you, up Highway 101.
Up Highway 101, so you're like Sonoma, Napa, where are you?
Southern Sonoma County.
Southern Sonoma County. It is beautiful there, I admit. I imagine it's just like you have vineyards, bed and breakfasts, another vineyard, a bed and breakfast, a yoga studio. Is that, am I about right?
Yeah, you're right on track there.
There you go. That's great. Well, it's nice to have you with us, Mark. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Mark's topic?
Buy two, get me free.
Time is money. Money doesn't grow on trees, and that means nobody has the time anymore to climb trees to not find any money. I don't know what I just said, but the point is, we have to do what we can to save. And this week we heard about somebody who had a great, if unusual, idea to cut down on expenses. Each of our panelists has a money-making scheme for you. Only one is real. Pick that real one and win our prize, Carl Castle's voice, on your voicemail. You ready to go?
I am ready to go.
All right, let's hear from, first, Luke Burbank.
Finding love after 40 can be challenging under even the best of circumstances, let alone when you're 46, living in Bismarck, North Dakota, and on a tight budget. And yet that's exactly where Bernie LaFever found himself last year. I didn't have the money for one of those fancy online dating services, he told the Bismarck Tribune. I was hearing about all these dating sites, Tinder and Grindr. So I says to myself, what about Scanner? Scanner, it turns out, was the police and fire scanner Bernie had in his 1987 Chevy Citation. The dispatchers are real good about telling the police and fire folks if it's a lady that got into a fender bender, but they don't usually say if she's single, so I'll take a drive out there to see for myself. So far, Bernie has landed 4 dates from showing up at minor accidents and medical emergencies. There's something about a sprained ankle or fainting in a Red Lobster that really seems to put a lady in a real agreeable state of mind to talk to me, Bernie says. Sometimes I think it's because I get there before the ambulance and maybe they think I'm the paramedic, or maybe it's because their life just flashed before their eyes and they're reaching out to literally any other human who is nearby, but that's no matter. I ain't picky.
A man figures out he can save money by using his police scanner rather than some app like Tinder. Your next story of a bargain being mercilessly hunted comes from Brian Babylon.
One of the drawbacks of pot legalization in Denver is that it can wreck a budget. So pot shops are coming up with ways to give loyal customers a break. Deltron Cannabis Care recently held its first annual Bloodshot Eyes Wide Open contest, which awards a free month of supply of weed to whoever can stay awake the longest after consuming one of their famously strong pot brownies. As you can imagine, customers rush to sign up, or they rather shuffle slowly to sign up. Some with their eyelids taped open, others wearing beer helmets filled with 5-hour energy drink. Competitor Opio Lindsay told the Denver Post, "I slept 27 hours last night so I can be awake today." Boulder resident Rebecca Scrack was crowned winner when she stayed awake for 12 whole minutes. Well, she actually wasn't crowned until 3 days later when she finally woke up.
You know, it's been 2 weeks since we were in Colorado. You ought to be over that, buddy.
I know. It's residual effects.
A Colorado pot shop holds a contest to see who can stay awake the longest to get some free merchandise. Your last story of someone going to great lengths for value comes from Amy Dickinson.
Everybody likes a good bargain. And nobody likes to pay for something they don't need, so British man David Rainsford's fight with his local eyeglasses shop, Specsavers, makes perfect sense. The drama takes place in the most British town ever, a little hamlet called Cramington. Rainsford lost his right eye when he was a teenager. Now he and his optician don't quite see eyes to eye. They're locked in a fight to have the cost of an eye exam cut in half because one of his eyes is a glass prosthesis. In a case closely watched by pirates and and Sandy Duncan, so far the optometrist has refused to cut his prices.
All right, here are your choices. Was the true story from Luke Burbank, the man who saved money by using a police scanner instead of one of those apps for dating? Was it from Brian Babylon, a pot shop in Colorado, which drew all kinds of people out to see if they could stay awake in order to win some free merchandise? Or from Amy Dickinson, the one-eyed man in Cramington in England, who demands that he should only pay half price for an eye exam because he's only got one eye?
Okay, you're sure one of these is really true?
We are absolutely certain.
Yeah, okay. I think I got to go with Amy.
You're going to go with Amy's story. The man with one eye who feels that he should pay only for one eye to be examined. Well, we actually spoke to the person who had gotten this tremendous bargain, or at least wants it.
If an eye test costs £25, getting you to leave me and anybody else with one eye could only have to pay £12.50.
That was David Rainsford from Cramlington, the UK, who had hoped having just one eye would get him a half-price eye exam. Congratulations, Mark. You got it right. Well done.
Thank you so much.
You're into point for Amy. You've won our prize. Carl Castle, our scorekeeper emeritus, will record the greeting in your voicemail. You did so well. Thank you so much for playing.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And now the game where we invite very interesting people on and ask them to do something slightly less than interesting. Behind today's San Francisco of nerd billionaires and trendy restaurants, there is another city where the most interesting people didn't wear hoodies, but spike heels, glitter catsuits, and fantastic hair. Peaches Christ is the empress of San Francisco drag queens. We are delighted to have her with us today. Peaches Christ, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's such a pleasure. Now, I have never been sadder that we are a radio program. So you are dressed casually, I imagine. This is a casual look for...
This is daytime. Yeah.
Yeah.
Grocery shopping, going to the gym.
So you are wearing. Let's see, a glitter... What do you... glitter?
Let's call it
disco
ball
suit. It's sort of a fully, you know, Charlie's Angels inspired... silver sequins jumpsuit.
Yes, that's what it is.
With a lot of cleavage.
Oh, yeah.
Elvira-inspired cleavage.
Yeah, I believe that's the Colorado River snaking down through there.
Yes.
You know what? It's formed over eons, that cleavage.
The drought is over.
Yes. And and your hair is fabulous.
The hair is very Farrah-inspired.
The hair is like 9 or 10 actual blondes gave up their hair for that. All drag performers, drag legends have origin stories. What's yours?
Well, I really started my drag career in a movie. I was a film major at Penn State University and was making a movie, which the title I can't say here on NPR.
Right.
But there was a drag queen character in the movie, and the actor we'd hired kind of dropped out. And so as the director, I came in and saved the day. I put on the wig and the costume, and the rest is history, because I moved to San Francisco a year later and started performing at the legendary Tranny Shack Club in 1996.
A Tranny Shack. Mm-hmm. And when you got to San Francisco, did you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm home? Or did you feel like, oh my gosh, I can walk down the street dressed like this and nobody notices?
A little bit of both. Yeah. You have to, you know, to be a successful drag queen in this town, it takes a lot more than putting on a wig and some lipstick.
I know. I tried that yesterday. I got nothing.
Yeah. I think part of it's that, you know, a lot of us flocked to San Francisco to reinvent ourselves. We were the freaks and the weirdos and the people who sat alone in 7th and 8th grade, so it was a hobby. I never imagined this would be my career all these years later, but that's
how it started. I did dream it would be my career, and it is not going well. But I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Now, I know a lot of the ladies out in the audience are probably admiring your outfit. How long did it take you to get ready?
About 3 hours.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you start?
You should see what I look like before this. Do you guys know what a bear is?
Really?
Not really.
I swear.
Really?
I swear. I could show you right now. All I have to do is take it off.
So the first hour is just shaving body hair. It's like
I don't see. I'm all covered. This is all illusion. So I'm corseted. I'm strapped down. I'm really buckled in. So
yeah,
you know.
So don't move suddenly, or
it could
people
be dangerous for the
You'll
front row.
I understand. That'd be terrifying. So what are the shows like that you do? You introduce films. You have these big shows around films.
Yes, I'm in the business of celebrating cult movies. So I grew up in Maryland, and I worshiped Divine and John Waters from a young age.
Sure.
And we do full drag, you know, spectacles before, you know, films. My next show is Showgirls.
Well,
the
this
best
is,
movie
I know,
ever
this
made.
Is like,
oh.
This is, I understand, one of your big shows that people look forward to. It sells out. This is when you do a big show, sort of you reenact the film before a show.
We do. This is our NC-17th annual Showgirls screening. So I started showing Showgirls 17 years ago. The first show I did, I put on the poster that we would offer free lap dances with every large popcorn. And
how many takers did you get on that?
Hundreds.
I can imagine.
We bring in 100 lap dancers. I call it an army of lap dancers.
Thank you. I like that.
The Castro Theater, you know, we keep their doors open because they sell more large popcorns that night.
I can imagine.
Than they do in a year.
Now, hold on. Do you hold the popcorn as you lap dance, or you just put it down to the side pick it back up?
This is the thing about that. So a lot of you see guys come who think that they're getting a lap dance, who don't really understand that it's a drag show. So their first, you know, horror is me bursting out of a volcano naked. That's the first thing that happens. And then when I introduce the lap dancers, you can kind of see their popcorn start sliding under their seats. sort of disappearing because, you know, they're my kind of lap dancers, you know?
So the lap dancers are also in drag is what you're saying.
Some of them. You can't always tell what's going on, really, with with them.
So it's like all you know is you're getting popcorn. You don't know what flavor.
Yeah,
it could be.
Right.
So, Peaches, you do a show about or with the movie The Wizard of Oz. Can you tell me about that?
We did. We did The Wizard of Oz at the Castro Theater. It's in the middle of the Castro, which is the big gay neighborhood. And so The Wizard of Oz with a drag show at the Castro Theater probably is the gayest thing that's ever happened here, maybe. And, you know, I love The Wizard of Oz. It's probably one of the most inspiring movies I've ever seen or experienced, and I think it really launched my love of horror films. I'm really a horror queen.
Is The Wizard of Oz a horror movie?
I think it is, if you think about it, really. I mean, she kills someone right at the beginning of the movie, and there's a terrifying witch, and she goes on a journey to kill again.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's
scary. From the witch's perspective, it is kind of a serial killer movie.
Oh, yeah, she kills two people. You know, that's a body count. So it's creepy, but we did an age restriction, and that way we could do our drag pre-show, which was a 75-minute big pre-show spectacle before the movie, where I, you know, land in Oz and go on
after
a journey.
After 75 minutes of watching you play Dorothy in Play Out the Story, doesn't the movie seem boring, thin, and silly?
Yes.
Yeah, I would imagine. Well, Peaches, we are delighted to talk to you. And we've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Forget About It.
That's quite legitimate.
Thank you.
So, you're a drag queen, but what do you know about Queens? Not the royalty. No, the borough of New York City. Destined to be the next hipster capital now that Brooklyn is old and done. So we're going to ask you three questions about what's happening right now in Queens, New York. And if you answer two of them correctly, you win a prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice, on their voicemail. Bill, who is Peaches playing for?
Todd Phillips of The Hague in the Netherlands.
Wow.
All right. Here's your first question. In 2010, a woman sued a Queens costume store. Why? A, she got a peg leg, a parrot, and an eye patch when she expressly asked for a Somali pirate costume. B, she tripped and fell wearing their, quote, defective clown shoes. Or C, she got stuck in her horse costume for 4 hours and she was the back half.
I'll say B.
She tripped and fell wearing their clown shoes?
Yes.
You are right. That's what happened. She says that the defective shoes caused her to trip and injure herself at a costume party, the lawyer noted, not a professional clown. Next Queens question. The glory often goes to Manhattan, where all the doers and shakers supposedly live. But in 2012, a Queens man distinguished himself how? A, he made medical history by eating the styrofoam container his hero sandwich came in, and he survived. B, he swam a mile, a measured mile, in the sewage containment ponds at the Hunts Point Water Treatment Plant. Or C, he broke a record by binge-watching 252 movies in 30 days on Netflix.
Wow. I'll say B again.
You're going to go for B, he swam a mile in the sewage containment ponds?
Yeah.
No, it was actually C. He broke the record for Netflix watching. A man named Mark Malkoff wanted to see how much value he could get from his Netflix streaming membership. He ended up paying, as he calculated it, less than 7 cents per terrible, terrible movie. All right, this is exciting because, you know, you like drama. This is dramatic. Here we go. If you get this right, you win. Here we go. All is not sunshine and light in Queens. Queens resident Liliana Coelho was sentenced to 2 years in prison just recently after she was convicted of what crime? A, walking into a Walgreens and drinking 27 five-hour energy drinks without paying for them. B, impersonating a doctor and performing a horribly failed butt lift procedure. Or C, trying to escape Queens by hang gliding off the top of the Queensboro Bridge.
Oh, my goodness.
Terrible.
Let me put it to you this way, Peaches. Answer B involves a butt lift surgery gone wrong. Has a butt lift surgery ever gone right?
That's true.
That's true. And what was C again? The hang gliding?
C was the hang gliding off the top of the Queensboro Bridge.
Okay, I'll say B.
You're going to say B?
I'll say
B. You are right.
Oh,
that's
good.
The answer.
Well,
Ms. Coelho pretended to be a doctor and promised her patient a miraculously firm derriere for only $2,000. When the first injections did not work, she tried to fix it, this is true, with crazy glue.
Oh, my God.
Ended up going to jail. Bill, how did Peaches do in our quiz?
Peaches, you're a winner in our book. Yeah, we love having you here.
Thank you.
Peaches Christ is hosting Showgirls August 23rd at the Castro. And there will be free dances with every large popcorn. More information at peacheschrist.com. And if you're curious to how fabulous Peaches looked with us today on the show, there'll be a picture at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Peaches Christ, thank you so much for being on our show.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Luke Burbank, Amy Dickinson, and Brian Babylon. And here again is your host at the Norse Theater in San Francisco, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, Bill eats It's a big bowl of Rhyme-A-Roni in our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Luke, New York City has a program that encourages developers to build low-income housing along with the fancy condos they're putting up. One developer is taking advantage of this by putting low-income housing and luxury condos in the same building. And special feature, the low-income tenants will get their very own what?
Entrance.
Yes. There is a separate entrance in the building for the poor peoples. It's like a main entrance and a back door for the working class. It's just like Downton Abbey. How thrilling.
Is this the same place where they had like the rich people gym? The people in the building couldn't use a gym's place in New
York?
Well,
no. The rich people have a gym. And the poor people who live in the building will have a smaller gym that'll just be treadmills. They get this for free. They have to spend at least 6 hours a day on the treadmills to power the fountain in the rich people's lobby.
Yeah, that's what that is.
It is nice, though.
But you know what? That's sustainable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Carbon sustainable, right?
The address will be 40 Riverside Drive. It'll have 219 pricey luxury condos, priced in the millions, I'm sure, and 55 mobile homes stacked one on top of another right next to it. The poors will have to use their own separate entrance, a fact which developers say doesn't remind anybody of anything. All right, it's not really a separate door. It's like a little door in the bottom of the regular door.
Flaps up.
Wait till you find out another feature they get in this shared building, the trickle-down shower. Amy, good news for travelers. A few weeks ago, airplane manufacturer Airbus filed a patent that would replace those terrible, uncomfortable airplane seats we all hate with what?
Oh, I hope it's... Wait, was it bicycle seats?
It was bicycle seats!
How?
Spin class?
Sort of. The design will cram several airline passengers next to each other on these narrow bicycle seats, blurring the line between airplane interior design and Dante's Inferno. Good news, you'll never have to fly next to a screaming baby again, because no one who sits in those seats will ever be able to have children.
I've seen the picture of these bicycle seats, and they're even more ridiculous than they sound because they all fold up when not in use. So they're sort of like stadium bleacher seats you have to push down when you get to your seat. And everybody here and listening in Radioland is thinking that's ridiculous, but if that seat was $80 to Paris, you'd be getting on that bad mamma jamma.
Well, how about... Here's the worst part. In the designs in the patent, each of the seats has a set of pedals beneath it.
Yep.
That's the scary part.
It's a Flintstone plane all of a sudden. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, looking off to our right, you'll see Mount Rushmore, and if you don't start pedaling harder, we will be hitting it.
Yeah. Luke, trying on clothes can be one of the most disheartening experiences imaginable. We all know this. But one clothing store is going to try to improve the experience. They've created dressing rooms that do what?
I have thought of this. If I have the right answer in my brain, I have been thinking this for years. Do they make you look skinnier?
You mean like with like those mirrors?
A more flattering mirror, better lighting.
No.
You know, they always do that.
Well, then that idea is still available, and I am going to utilize it. Because, come on.
I hate to be the one to tell you this, Luke, but they already do that.
Are you trying to tell me I'm not a size zero?
If you're looking bad in the dressing room, then there's a chance that you look worse out on the street.
All right. Well...
Not a pretty thought.
This is not the place I hoped we'd have this conversation. But, okay, you're the advice maven. Whatever. I'm sorry, Peter.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Blue is definitely your color.
Is it sort of a recording that analyzes how you're looking
and
how the outfit looks on you?
But yes, basically, it compliments you.
It compliments
you. The dressing room, it will compliment you. So as you're standing there, you're looking at yourself in the mirror. A hidden speaker plays pre-recorded messages like, wow, you look amazing.
Oh, man.
And beautiful. And just stand there and let me look at you, even though I have no eyes.
So, you see, wait a minute, because I have been going into clothing stores and yelling that under the door, and it's like,
they make you always make
I get
leave.
Kicked out.
I know.
So it's going to be on like a loop, like the It's a Small World ride?
Yeah.
Yeah, wait till it breaks down.
That's funny.
You look amazing.
What I was hoping here was that the answer was going to be is like a sassy friend that they will put in to give you a montage of like, like, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
like,
progression,
you
know, scene.
Yeah, progression.
It's pretty bad when you walk into one of these dressing rooms and you zip up your jeans and it doesn't say anything for a while. And then it comes out with, I bet you've got a great personality. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's a game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, Illinois. And our upcoming show in Seattle, September 18th. And check out our How to Do Everything podcast. This week, Mike and Ian trick me into eating granola bars made with bugs.
Oh.
Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
I'm Shelley Pargo.
Hey, Shelley, where are you calling from?
Mountain View, California.
Mountain View, California. Down on the peninsula.
Yep.
Not far from here.
Not very far at all.
No, what do you do there?
Oh, I could be moving down to L.A.
Oh, no.
I know.
For many people here, a fate worse than death.
This call is over, Shelley.
Well, welcome to our show, Shelley. Bill Curtis is going to perform for you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a big winner. Ready to go?
Yes.
Here is your first limerick.
We startups have one renowned passion. We code stuff, get big, and then cash in. The code of our dress is more of a mess, and yet it's the acme of...
Fashion.
Yes, fashion. Very good. Banana Republic has a new line of entrepreneurial fashion, and they're calling the look Startup Guy. It's all untucked shirts, rolled up pants for the young .com go-getter who wants to say to the world, I'm rich enough that it doesn't matter I look like I'm a little boy who raided his big brother's closet in the dark.
What kind of outfits are they? I mean, are
well, they're sort of khaki pants and, you know, untucked stripy shirts. And
aren't they clothes that are really too small for people?
Yeah, they look a little too small.
That's the look, okay.
That's the Wes Anderson collection.
Yeah, right.
Which is a different part of the store.
Here is your next limerick.
This recipe is made for a man. Get 8-inch round or a bundt pan. Take product and shake. Quick spray and short bake. Voila, you've got cake from a...
Pam.
Pam is close. Pam comes in a?
Spray can.
Yes, can is the answer. Very good. A couple of Harvard engineering students have created aerosol spray cake batter.
Oh, my God.
It's like a can of Easy Cheese, but it's cake batter. And in theory, you spray it into a pan, microwave it, you have cake. No way, though, one drop of this stuff is ever going anywhere but directly into some poor slob's mouth.
Exactly.
Regular cake is how you say happy birthday. Aerosol cake sprayed directly into your throat is how you say sad birthday. Happy birthday to me. Here is your last limerick.
On an airplane, my kind is reviled. They think I am whiny and wild. So they made a back section with nanny protection. I sit here because I am a...
Child.
Yes, yes, a child. Very good. This week, Richard Branson of Virgin Airlines, remember him, announced his intention to one day create a kids' section on his planes. The idea is to have all the babies and children sit together in their own closed-off section, attended to by a team of specially trained nannies, who we assume would be regular flight attendants who had really, really screwed up in their prior assignment. Why stop there? There should also be a section for people who want to talk to their seatmates. Or a BO section. Oh, wait. That's called coach.
Oh.
Can we just be like on the same page of that sounds like a pretty good idea, kind of. I mean, I don't have kids. Once again, maybe I'm just single guy.
Well, he was going to make it a ball pit.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Seems dangerous on impact.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kid is in there like, you know, bicycle seat bike, bicycle and then they jump in the ball pit.
Or maybe super safe on impact. What if it was just like packing peanuts?
It'd be awesome.
There you go. It'd probably be fine.
I think they should send it. They can crate them and put them in cargo like large pets.
Give them a little Benadryl on a hot dog.
They're good to go.
We'll see you in Dallas.
Bill, how did Shelley do?
Shelley did perfect. Great job, Shelley.
Good job, Shelley.
Three and all.
Thanks so much for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Brian and Luke have 2 apiece. Amy has 3.
We have flipped a coin. Luke has elected to go first. Here we go. The clock will start when I begin your first question, fill-in-the-blank. On Wednesday, the FAA lifted its ban on flights to blank.
Tel Aviv.
Right, to Israel. Amid safety concerns, McDonald's announced that it has stopped purchasing meat from a supplier in blank.
A place where they sell rotten meat.
Yes, that's right. And specifically, it is China. This week, Senator John Walsh of Montana was accused of blanking large portions of his master's thesis.
Plagiarizing.
Right. This week, U.S. authorities claim to have arrested over 200 people in crackdowns on the blank.
The border.
Yes, on the border. A postal worker in England was forced to abandon her route when she accidentally released blanks from a package she was delivering.
Bees.
Yes, 2,000 of them. A new study from the University of California, San Diego suggests that dogs may be able to feel blank.
Happiness.
No, jealousy. Best known for his roles in Maverick and later the Rockford Files. Actor blank passed away at the age of 86.
James Garner.
Right. After the word fire began flashing on his dashboard, a man in Britain pulled over and abandoned his car only to discover blank.
That he was on fire.
No. He discovered that the car was just telling him the name of the song on the radio.
No.
Man's driving along. All of a sudden,
fire.
The readout says, fire, fire, fire. It's like, oh my God. Pulls over, jumps out. Police officers found him on the side of the road. They said, no. That was the Adele song you were listening to.
Oh, man.
Bill, how did Luke do in our quiz?
Thank you, Amy. Luke had 5 right for 10 more points. He now has 12 points and the lead.
All right, very good. Brian, you are up next. Fill in the blank. This week, the EU expanded sanctions against Russia, claiming they're partly responsible for the plane being shot down in blank.
Ukraine?
Right. President Obama met with Buzz Aldrin and Michael Collins to commemorate the 45th anniversary of the blank.
The moon landing?
Yes. On Tuesday, Iran vowed to spend the next 4 months eliminating its blank material.
Nuclear?
Yes. On Monday, President Obama signed an executive order banning federal contractors from discriminating against blank.
Gay people?
Yes. A Colorado man who stole $20,000 from a bank in Denver was arrested shortly afterwards because he blanked.
He started gambling. Sleep.
No, because he robbed the bank while wearing a shirt with his name on it. With his win at the British Open, Rory McIlroy became the third blank to win 3 major titles by the age of 25.
Golfer.
Right. A man in Washington chose to dive out of a moving car to avoid blank.
His car on fire?
No, he jumped. He dove out of the moving car to avoid an argument with his girlfriend. Because who has not been tempted? According to police reports, the man and his girlfriend had just begun arguing when the man opened the passenger side door and jumped out of the moving vehicle. Say what you will, the man did get the last word in the argument, and that last word was, ow! Bill, how did Brian do in our quiz?
He got 5 right for 10 more points. He gives him 12 points, and he is tied with Luke for the lead.
Oh.
Well done. Ooh.
And Amy needs 5 to win.
Well, thank you. I was just about to ask. Amy, you need 5 to win. Here we go. This is for the game. Fill in the blank. The U.S. Sentencing Commission voted unanimously to reduce the terms of blank traffickers already spending time in prison.
drug.
Right. Washington residents were forced to evacuate their houses as the biggest blank in that state's history continued to spread.
Wildfire?
Right. This week, an Italian court overturned former Premier Blank's sex-for-hire conviction.
It's Berlusconi.
Berlusconi. The man in California who robbed a burrito joint was arrested later that day when he blanked.
Burst.
No.
In flames.
When he went back to the same burrito joint to buy lunch. It was good. Thanks to mobile advertising, social media site Blank reached double its IPO price.
Oh, Facebook.
Yes, a man in Mississippi attempting to flee a traffic stop ended up running straight into Blank while looking for a way out.
Man in Mississippi fleeing a traffic stop, running.
Running away from the police, ran into...
The police van.
No, he ran into the police academy. Roger Beasley was stopped for speeding on a street in Biloxi. He knew he had cocaine in his pocket, so he decided to run for it. He ran right onto the grounds of the Harrison County Law Enforcement Training Academy.
No.
It was the biggest mistake involving a police academy since the last time someone decided to watch one of the police academy movies. Bill, did Amy do well enough to win?
Well, Amy got 4 right for 8 more points, was just a little short. And that means we have a tie for the winner, Luke and Brian.
Very
with 11
well done.
Points.
In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists what will be the next shocking piece of good news to get us through the week. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Angie's List, connecting consumers with user-reviewed contractors, an online marketplace, and concierge support for home improvement services, angieslist.com. The Skoll Foundation, supporting social entrepreneurs and their innovations to solve the world's most pressing problems at skoll.org. And Subaru, featuring the all-new Subaru Legacy. It's not just a sedan, it's a Subaru. Learn more at Subaru.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, benevolent overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our intern is smashing success, Kelly. Our web guru is Beth Novi. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Evil Walchover and Miles Dernboss. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our CFO is Ann Nien. Our production coordinator is Mr. Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Michael Linwood Danforth. Now, panel, what will be that next bit of welcome good news? Brian Babylon.
The Gap's going to announce they're going to release a pair of cheap pants for people who are half-ass.
That would be good news. I'd like that. Amy Dickinson.
Prince William and Kate are going to have to announce that they're pregnant with, like, triplets.
Really? We're going to need that. And Luke Burbank.
4 words. Kim Kardashian, MacArthur genius.
And if that happens, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Luke Burbank, Amy Dickinson, and Brian Babylon. Special thanks this week to the Norse Theater Technical Director, Masai Aitoku, Sound Engineer, Corbett Kyle, and thanks to Sydney Goldstein, Holly Muller-Wallen, and Ali Washkin of City Arts and Lectures. And of course, thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you right back here, San Francisco, California, next week. Is NPR.